You know, we automatically, when we hear the word father, we automatically think of our fathers as being mature, right? Maturity kind of is equated with being a good father. And, you know, I think my children think I'm mature, although they probably know better. But so the question today is, are you grown up? Are you grown up? Now, this is not just for fathers, this is for everyone. For all of us, are we grown up? When did you know that you'd achieved that grown-up status? Was it when you bought your first car, got your driver's license, maybe bought your first house, maybe when you got married, you say, okay, now I'm grown up, I'm doing grown-up things, right? When you filed your taxes, that's kind of a grown-up thing. But when did you know that you were grown up? You know, one of the problems with our Western culture is we don't have a defining point in our age that says, this is the age of maturity. And we know our Jewish friends, they have an age that they celebrate their bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, which is the age of accountability or the age of coming into maturity, where, this is interesting, their parents celebrate because at that point, the parents are no longer responsible for what the children do when they do something wrong. And it is that children become responsible for their own actions. And we don't have that in our culture. And most ancient cultures, most cultures have that coming of age, definite time that children look forward to and parents look forward to. And there's some sort of ceremony, and but we don't have that. And I believe that it's kind of tragic in our Western culture that we don't have that because we have generations of people that don't quite know when they're grown up. And some of them are still living as if they're teenagers and they're 40 years old and never quite grew up along the way. Because culture never really said to them, this is the point that you need to be starting to act and live like an adult, matured adult. But you know, we as a church, there's also a need and a call for us church, a church, any church, to be mature, to grow up into maturity. This year, Grace Point celebrates, formerly SWO Park, 114 years of being a church, officially, in Kansas City. But are we mature? Are we grown up? And it's always something we need to look at. We need to ask these tough questions because maturity as a church is vitally important. Maturity as a Christian is vitally important for us as a community and as what God has called us to be. So Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he actually gave them some instructions on maturity. He actually wrote to them about maturing. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're just going to look at from verses 11 to 16 today in Ephesians chapter 4. Speaking about Jesus, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And then when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. You know, I preached through Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus some years ago, and we've read this many times. We've heard these words before, but they're extremely challenging. When we really begin to think about what is God saying to us through His word here. You know, Maturity is not measured in years. It's not measured in the number of years that you've lived. But it's really, maturity is a measure of emotional, spiritual health. Emotional health and spiritual health. Being self-aware, being comfortable as how God has made you. I want to get into the whole psychology of it, but being comfortable with you and yourself as how has God made you, not trying to be someone else, not trying to perform for someone else, but to be yourself, to be happy with how God has made you. Immature people always try to be something that they're not, always try to show an image of themselves that's not really who they are. Emotionally immature people struggle to prove themselves constantly in so many areas of their lives. And depending on the experiences, the painful experiences, sometimes the trauma that you've experienced in life, we all have aspects of our emotions that aren't mature. We have aspects of our lives and the way we respond to people that aren't mature because of the trauma we've experienced. We're not developed fully the way God intended for us to be developed. But as we will see, maturity is Christ-likeness. The goal that God has for us is to be like Christ, how he lived and how he is, to grow in Jesus, to die to our flesh, to die to the former way of life. That's spiritual maturity. To find our satisfaction in the approval of our Heavenly Father, not looking for the approval of man. That's maturity. The Apostle Paul, he wants to encourage the church. He wants to encourage the church to grow up. He says, come on, it's time for you to grow up, to be unified, to use the gifts that God has given you. And then notice that maturity actually comes from doing the work of ministry. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. You know, we tend to think that, well, I cannot do anything in the church or I cannot do anything in ministry until I'm mature in the Lord. But we don't realize that we actually grow and mature as we do. I was thinking this morning about how Jesus sent out his disciples. He sent out the 12, then he sent out the 72. He sent them out. They had no idea what they were doing. They had some inkling of what they were doing, but they matured through it. They came back praising God for all that he had done. They matured. They learned. They grew by doing, by going out in faith, and they matured. But a spiritually mature church is made up of spiritually mature people. Obviously, it goes without saying. But in there's four verses from verse 13 to 16, we see four traits of a spiritually mature person. Firstly, in verse 13, a mature person is Christ-like. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's so much in that verse. It's such an incredibly powerful verse. Jesus is the ultimate picture and example of spiritual maturity. The fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ is the expression of the complete completion of our walk as Christians. The goal of every Christian is to become more and more like Jesus. Now, what does that look like? Well, it's exhibiting the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. To become more like Christ, the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident in our lives. People around us see that we have greater patience, self-control, gentleness, love, joy. When we read those, we say, yeah, we know that's in Galatians 5, but we've got to start seeing it in our lives. And we're like, well, I can do that one, but I really struggle with that one. I'm good at that, but yeah, don't ask me about self-control, or don't ask me about patience, right? It's the process of becoming more like Jesus. That process is actually the church term that we use is sanctification, becoming more like Christ. It's that growth period. And here's the somewhat discouraging thing is sanctification never ends until Jesus comes again. We're constantly on the process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. As the Holy Spirit works in our lives and works through our lives, refining us. I've often said this, that if you're not more like Jesus today than you were this time last year, something's wrong. We have to be moving forward in our Christian walk with the Lord. That's maturing, that's growing, that's sanctification, that's becoming more like Jesus. And if you're not becoming more like Jesus, let's be really honest. You're not walking with the Lord. Because if you're walking with the Lord, you'll become more like the Lord. Walking with Jesus is sanctification. Secondly, maturity involves doctrinal stability. I know it's long words, but it's knowing the Word of God, knowing what you believe, and knowing where it's found and how and why you should believe it. Spiritual maturity actually involves intellect. It does involve thinking. It's not just about an emotional experience and about things that happen to us and experiences and joys and pleasures we can experience in the Christian walk. We need to understand that it's involved. There is a process, an intellectual process in growing into maturity in our Christian walk. Paul writes about this in verse 13. There's the knowledge aspect of our faith. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's the knowing. It's the knowledge. Well, it's experiential, but it's also knowing Jesus and knowing what we believe. Paul refers to children on the opposite end of the spectrum. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, by deceitful schemes. We've seen a lot of that in our world today, where we have teachers that are teaching false doctrines, and the church, by and large, says, well, you're up there, you must know what you're talking about, so we'll just go along with it, and then we find out that it's false teaching, because people are immature. They don't look into God's Word for themselves and grow in the knowledge of Jesus, so that when they hear false teaching, they immediately discern that's not of the Lord. We need to get to that point. I would respect and treasure and love anytime anyone here comes to me and sends me an email and says, hey, what you said may not be right. Or I want to challenge that. Yesterday in our men's breakfast, we had a great men's breakfast here yesterday, and something happened, which frequently happens. There's backwards and forwards discussion, and some men disagreed with each other. Oh my goodness, there was a disagreement. No, it was healthy. There was healthy respect and disagreement, and we all grew through that. You know, spiritual children are gullible because they cannot feed themselves. They fall prey to false teaching. We have a very real enemy. And that enemy is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, to take away the knowledge that we have, to deceive us, to sidetrack us in our spiritual journey. So how do we avoid these pitfalls of false doctrine? We know the Word. You have to know the Word. You have to read God's Word, meditate on God's Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. Sit with the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that. Statistically, sadly, most people don't do that. Most followers of Jesus say, well, yeah, I go to church and I listen to the preaching, but they don't open their own Bible for themselves. That's why we're still children. We're not maturing. We need to be digging into the Word of God for ourselves, spending time, allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. The pastor's role, my role, and our church leadership role is to defend the truth and to teach, but I cannot be and hold your hand every moment of the day and say, come now, it's time to read your Word, it's time to dig into God's Word. No, that's what you do with children. Maturing is reading the Word, it's studying God's Word, growing up into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews is pretty direct in this, in chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. But what is that constant practice? It's knowing God's word. It's practicing God's word. It's going out and doing what God's word says. You grow through that. And then thirdly, maturity involves truth joined with love. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. You know, this verse, there was a season in the church, and maybe it still happens, I don't really see it much more, but it used to be a time where this verse was used as kind of the spiritual baseball bat in the church. You know, just before we're about to tell something really harsh to someone, we say, well, I'm just going to speak the truth in love right now, and then you just unload on that poor person. That's not speaking the truth in love, okay? We don't use this verse for that. What it really means is, actually, John Stott takes the Greek word here, it's very complex, and he says, actually, the word is truthing. It's kind of a newer English word. It's living out truth. It's speaking truth. It's living truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So one way of looking at this verse is speaking the truth in love means to speak the gospel in love, to speak about Jesus in love. When you're speaking about Jesus. He is the truth. So when we speak the truth, we speak about Jesus in love, lovingly proclaiming the ultimate truth, the gospel message about Jesus dying for our sins, being raised to life and providing a way that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we speak up because we love. We speak with grace because we're all sinners saved by grace. None of us can speak harshly to one another the truth because we're all sinners saved by grace. Speaking the truth in love is also having those tough conversations. Coming out of that firm foundation of love, it's not for selfish gain. John Stott writes this, truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. Do you have someone in your life that loves you enough to speak the truth to you? Do you have someone in your life that regularly comes up to you and confides in you and says, I love you enough to help you in this area? If you do, don't dismiss those words of correction. We need them. We all have blind spots. And then finally, maturity involves contribution. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The Apostle Paul goes back to the analogy of the body, the human body, but speaking about the church, the body of Christ. And the church, the body of Christ, has many different parts. We all have different parts to play. We all need each other, but there's many different connections, and we need to be joined together. You know, the church is not a social club. It's not a, I know we have great worship, and we have a stage up here, and you're all facing forward, right? But that's not what the church is. The church is happening around the tables. The church is us coming together and everyone exercising the gifts that they have in the body of Christ. Every part is significant. Every one of you here is as significant as anyone else. We're all parts of the body of Christ. And as the church, we're dependent on Christ. He is the head of the church. And then we're dependent on each other working together. I need the gifts that you have. We all need each other in the body of Christ, working together. And as we grow in Christ individually, Right? As we're maturing individually, we contribute more, we serve more, we grow together, the body of Christ becomes stronger, healthier. You know, it's good to be health conscious, right? To eat well, to exercise frequently, to get enough sleep. That's good for us. But I think we need to be very concerned, very aware of the health of the body of Christ. Getting the right nutrition as the body of Christ. Serving one another in the body of Christ. What a privilege to be united to Christ, united with each other in our unity in Christ. What a joy and what a privilege. I've often said that, you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I wouldn't be here. And probably none of us would know each other. We all come from different walks, from different areas, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ because Jesus is our Savior and He is alive today. And as we grow together, we grow in love and unity, the church grows. You know, so many churches have a static view of the church. Well, if we just keep doing what we're doing, we keep the programs going the way they've always been going, and we don't really want new people coming in because then kind of disrupts things a little bit, and they, you know, new people sometimes bring messy stuff with them, and it's awkward, and if, as long as we have enough budget to just keep doing the programs that we're always doing, sadly, that idea, that thinking of church, that church is already dead. It's already died. It has no desire to do what Jesus called the church to do, the purpose of the church, the call of the church in our community. There's no vision for growth through evangelism. There's no vision for mission. There's no vision for doing actually the work of the ministry that Paul writes about in these verses. The work of the ministry is us ministering to one another and in our community and where God has placed us, in our workplaces, in our homes. Recently, or some years ago, actually, I read a prayer request from a fellow pastor on the East Coast, and his church was declining and really struggling, and he approached the church council that they had and said, I really want us to go through a process of church revitalization, and we need to really rethink everything we're doing, and let's allow God, let's begin praying and allow God to bring this church to health and to strength through revitalization. And the church council voted to fire him. And they said, no, we're quite happy the way we are. We're quite happy until the money runs out and we have to close the doors. That's sadly, my friends, that is no longer a church. It's a club. It's a gathering. We're called to more. God calls us to more. The body of Christ is not a static thing. And the body of Christ is not a social construct either. It's active. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not about maintaining the status quo. The Holy Spirit of God is constantly drawing us and drawing others to more. More of Him. More of His presence. God's design for the church is to be salt and light in our community. To be, as Anne shared earlier, to be those people that when others see, they're like, I want to be close to that. I want to know what is that? What makes it different? What makes you different? Influencing for the glory of God. So as we focus on a healthy community and a healthy church, the natural byproduct of the church is growth. And when we think of growth, we think, well, it's got to be about numbers, right? We need more people in seats. Maybe. Yes, that's a byproduct of it, but the reality is if we're not growing spiritually, we're just gathering more people. We need to be growing in our own individual and as a church in our walk with the Lord. Maturity is not necessarily about numbers. Maturity is living out a sacrificial lifestyle, serving the body of Christ actively. When you come in here on a Sunday morning, or for any gathering we have, maturity is coming in saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to minister to? Do we have that mindset when we come into church on Sundays? I know when I come into church on Sunday, I have things on my mind to do, right? I got to stand up and I got to preach and got to make sure the format's running and everything's going. But when you come in, and this is just being really honest, when you come in, do you think, Lord, how do you want to use me today to pray for someone, to minister to someone? Because we're all priests. 1 Peter says, we're all priests. And so therefore, we are called to minister to one another. So I challenge you, before you walk in those doors on a Sunday morning, have a little prayer. Say, Lord, who do you want me to minister to do today? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to encourage, to bless? And maturity is about being able to feed yourself. Now, yes, we do rely on teaching, and there's a lot of good teaching, but maturity is being able to discern and to feed oneself on the Word of God. So many people are not reading God's Word. They're not praying. They're not worshiping. Their only feeding is the time when they come on a Sunday morning. And then they're challenged to, oh, does the Bible say that? And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, my challenge today is, who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? Who are you ministering to? If you've been in the church for 20 years, 50 years, and you're not feeding the Word of God to someone else through a small group, through just a relationship you have, through a discipleship program that you're doing, just caring for one another, if you're not doing that, something's wrong. You haven't matured. But finally, maturity doesn't happen without the new birth. If you're not born again, you'll never begin to grow. We need to have that beginning process, that day when you say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't been born again, I want to challenge you today to begin that personal relationship with Jesus. I want to invite you today, if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, I've been coming to church all my life, but I don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. I want to be born again. And you never thought that. You said, well, I was always born again because I've always been going to church, right? No, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you today. Someone around the table would love to pray with you today. But please come and speak to me. Don't leave this place if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to know more, to begin that sanctification process, to begin that walk with the Lord that leads to maturity. That's where it all begins. So let's pray, and then we're going to discuss around the tables. Let's pray right now. Lord, what a privilege we have to be called by your name. What a privilege, Lord, that we have, that you reached down and saved us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times of complacency, when we decided to just passively sit back and watch, when you're calling us to so much more. Lord, teach us what it means to be mature as followers of Jesus, to walk in maturity, to grow in sanctification. Help us, Lord. Give us a greater desire for more in our lives, more of your Spirit, more of a relationship with you, the knowing of Jesus Christ. Give us that hunger, I pray, for every one of us here today. I pray that you just remove complacency from us. Activate us, Lord, by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.